Good morning, everyone. It's Friday, March 15th. I'm John Weigel here with Juliet Bennett-Ryla, and this is The Hustle Daily Show. News has been dire for app developers out there, as subscription apps reportedly are not making a lot of money. TechCrunch reported that just 17.2% of apps ever exceed $1,000 in monthly revenue, which doesn't sound too great. So are there just too many apps out there, or does inflation have something to do with it? We'll get to that in a bit, but first let's give you the hits and headlines today across business and tech. To start us off here, Home Depot is opening four new 500-square-foot distribution centers in Detroit, Los Angeles, San Antonio, and Toronto to attract professional customers like remodelers and contractors after sales declined 3% last fiscal year. Next, Under Armour's founder, Kevin Plank, is returning to the company as CEO on April 1st, replacing Stephanie Linnartz, who has held the position for the last year. The company's stock has dropped 85% since its record high in 2015. Moving on, OpenAI signed contracts with Le Monde and Prisa Media to use their publications' French and Spanish news content to train ChatGPT and provide users with real-time updates, continuing ChatGPT's quest for publication integration. Next, following up on some TikTok news from yesterday, former Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said he's gathering investors to bid on TikTok if the U.S. government forces a sale. And continuing with TikTok news, Italy fined TikTok $11 million for endangering minors with the spread of harmful content. It's the latest from European regulators. The Irish Data Protection Commission ordered the app to pay $367 million in September for not protecting children. TikTok's coming under fire for a lot of supposed mental health problems that it's causing to children. We talked about that a lot yesterday, and I'm sure we'll cover it more as time goes on. All right, on to the main story, and today we're discussing the lack of spending across subscription apps lately. It may be surprising considering the amounts of apps flooding your phone right now. So, Juliet, can you tell us why these apps just aren't raking in any cash?
You know, that is a great question. I don't think this report really answers.
Great. Can you talk to us, though, about how these apps are doing financially?
So this is pretty interesting. This is a report from RevenueCat, and that is a company that offers subscription tools for mobile app developers. And they support over 29,000 apps. And so they looked at all of these apps. Some are big, some are small. You know, it's a pretty wide variety of apps. They found the median monthly revenue for apps that are at least 1 year old is actually less than $50 a month. The top 5% of apps, they are generating 200 times more revenue than the bottom quartile 1 year after launch.
Wow.
So what we're seeing here is like a huge disparity. Like there's some apps, they for sure are raking it in on subscriptions, but there's a lot of apps that just don't. Only 17.2% of apps, like you said earlier, ever exceed $1,000 in monthly revenue. Of those that do, 35% grow to $5,000 a month, but only 3.5% hit $10,000 a month. $10,000 a month is probably about when you're like, yes, this is my full-time job. Maybe a little less if depending on where you live. But suffice to say, a lot of these app developers, if this is their only app, the only thing they've got going, and it's not like, it's not a full-time job.
Wow. I mean, what a disparity between the $50 a month apps and the over $1,000 a month apps or the biggest apps. And the top 5% seem to be really, really dominating the income in the kind of the app marketplace. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's because of like microtransactions within the apps, these subscription services? I guess, what are these apps that are dominating the marketplace?
You know, I think that maybe this company, this RevenueCat, does not necessarily support some of those apps, but they do have Reuters and some big ones. And I think the apps that we can think of that are just like huge behemoths are probably the ones that are just like household names. So you think of Spotify, you know, they're raking it in. You think of maybe Headspace or Calm or some of those meditation apps that got really big over the pandemic. I think those are the kind of apps that we're seeing that are just, you know, they're the top tier. But then you have a lot of smaller apps. Like I cannot tell you the sheer number of meditation and like breathing apps that come across my screen.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, there's no brand awareness for that. Like me as the consumer, I've heard of Headspace. I've heard of Calm. If I want a meditation app, maybe I would use that.
Right.
My gym's app actually has like a built-in meditation thing. That is probably what I would use. A little tiny app that comes along and says, pay me $3 a month and I don't even get a trial. Like, I don't care.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, even when you do search these app names, for example, you search like Headspace or Spotify, I think the algorithm has it such as the way, or they have maybe paid it the way that you see Spotify, you just search Spotify, you have Spotify, and then you have Apple Music right below it. They're always kind of playing to these big company mm-hmm. players, which makes a lot of sense because they're the ones making the money. They're the ones with the most downloads. But apparently there are about 1.8 million apps on the marketplace right now in the Apple App Store alone. So that's insane. It's really tough to break in nowadays, I imagine.
Yeah, I think what we're looking at is just like a glut of apps. There are just so many. And to make a lot of money off of these subscriptions, which when you think about the average subscription, I think RevenueCat found it was about $8 a month. You need a lot of subscribers to make a lot of money. I mean, this isn't like a gym membership to Equinox where people are paying you $200 a month. These are like, you know, little transactions. So you're going to need a lot of subscribers. And I think a lot of these apps, when they overlap with other apps or they don't have the brand recognition that some of the bigger apps do, they don't have a lot of power behind marketing to get people hooked. They've got a lot of people who maybe do the 7-day trial subscription and then are like, I don't need to be spending money on this. You know, it's hard for them to break over that $1,000 mark.
Yeah. But given that, is the app industry doing well? Is it growing? Is it performing?
Yeah, it seems like things are growing. People are still subscribing, even though people are, you know, sort of pulling back on the amount of money they spend given inflation. People also have subscription fatigue, which is a very real thing now that literally everything is seemingly a subscription, from cosmetics to underwear to shampoo. Everything can be a subscription.
Yeah.
People are really pulling back on that. But people, you know, they're still subscribing to apps, which I think is a more reasonable thing to subscribe to than, I don't know, an underwear company. That's just me though. I mean, how much underwear does one person need? You know. And certain apps seemingly do better than other apps. You know, fitness and health apps are kind of at the top, and then some productivity apps are more at the bottom. So it just depends what your product is. But people are still subscribing, and there is a percentage of people who come back. You know, they're like, I'm going to unsubscribe. And then, you know, 6 months later, they're back. So,
right. And it seems like there's kind of this dual road way to make money if you're an app right now, through subscriptions or through microtransactions. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of gaming apps out there use microtransactions as a way to kind of keep people hooked and keep people playing.
Right.
But it seems like those are the tried and true methods, at least for these bigger apps.
There's a lot of numbers. Like if you are thinking about having an app and having it be a subscription app, I would definitely say like, go take a look at this report because there's just a ton in it. But my favorite part was a lot of the predictions that their experts had for what the future of apps is going to look like. Mm-hmm. And one of the big predictions is that a lot of apps will try to find alternative methods of monetization beyond just subscribing. And that could be things like in-app purchases. And, you know, like you said, you think of that with games. Gaming is definitely one area where you're constantly being asked to spend more money on different skins or new chapters of a story or hints if it's a puzzle game. But as one of the experts pointed out, Tinder is actually doing that all of the time. If you want to appear higher in certain people's feeds, if you want to give someone a super like, you have to pay for those things. And of course, Tinder also has, you know, premium subscription offerings where I think you appear more frequently or something, or, you know, you have a better chance of getting more matches. So there's definitely a lot of different ways to monetize beyond just the $8 a month or whatever.
Yeah. And I noticed one of these quotes that you've assembled in your article is about creating a bunch of smaller apps instead of just using your one app. That's fascinating to me, too.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. That was a thing that came from Steve P. Young, founder and CEO of App Masters. And he thinks the move is to not just have like one big app where all your eggs are, but a portfolio of smaller niche apps, which I think is pretty interesting. And, you know, there's a lot of niche apps out there that I think people get really, really into. And I think, yeah, you know, if somebody's like, I love foraging mushrooms, that is my passion in life.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be more inclined to spend more on a mushroom foraging app than like some random app that just, I don't know, talks about plants in general.
For sure. As media becomes more nicheified, your apps, I'm sure, will become more nicheified with it. That makes a lot of sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I would love a mushroom encyclopedia app on my phone, actually. I should get that. That sounds great.
Yeah. I mean, there are some apps that I have come across that like identify plants. Some of them don't do them very well. And this is another prediction was like, we're going to start using AI more in apps, which is maybe a good thing or maybe a bad thing. I guess we'll see. But yeah, I really like those apps because sometimes, you know, I'm at a store and I'm just like, I want to know what kind of plant that is. Or, you know what? I want to know if my cat can eat that plant without dying. That's my primary concern.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good. I ask my phone that all the time. Yes. What can I feed my dog this?
If someone would make me a gamified Stew of the Week app where every week it gave me a new stew to make, and then I got to like get points and talk to other people who make stews, I would probably pay for that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you can search on the App Store and find like You Stew or something. I'm sure that exists out there. I mean, there's almost 2 million of them. It's got to be there.
I'm going to look and I'll check back with you next time.
Please do. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We're a proud part of the HubSpot Podcast Network. Our editor today is Robert Hartwig, and our executive producer is Darren Clark. We've got a lot more tech and business coverage in our newsletter. If you're not subscribed, go get yourself signed up at thehustle.co/email, and we'll see you next week.